I got so excited when A. Martinez came into the studio for this next segment. I started asking questions for. We even came back from the break, and I realized that's selfish. I can't. The listeners have to get it fresh from A.'s mouth. That's not fair for me to do that. A. Martinez, host of Take Two, and for many years, the pre- and post-game host of Lakers broadcasts on ESPN LA to talk about NBA free agency, a particularly juicy year for free agents stories. Also with us, Los Angeles Times national NBA writer Dan Wojcicki. Dan, good to have you with us today. Appreciate it.
Thanks. I'm still waiting for my big contract.
All right. Very good. Well, let's talk first of all with where this sits historically. And Dan, you know, maybe fill us in. I can't remember a recent year in which so many big stars have changed teams.
No, this was a particularly active first 24 hours in free agency. At the Times, we did a list of our top 40 available free agents. And typically, you know, you'll get a pretty big handful of guys that re-sign and stuff, and it'll usually trickle out over a few days. You know, as of right now, I think there are only 7 of the top 40 still available, only 2 of the top 20. All 18 of the top 20 were agreed upon yesterday. It was almost as if somebody had been kind of holding the free agency hose tightly together, not letting anything come out. And then all of a sudden, everything came out all at once. It was pretty crazy yesterday. I know a lot of people's heads were spinning around the league as deal after deal just kind of got agreed upon. And you could see the NBA kind of change right in front of your eyes.
So we'll talk about who's got the super teams in a moment. But A, I wanted to ask you about, you know, the Lakers and Clippers, Kawhi Leonard, who arguably the most in demand of the free agents on the championship Toronto Raptors. What do you think the odds are he comes to Southern California?
Southern California, the odds are pretty good. If you'd have asked me this question 2 or 3 weeks ago, I would have said for sure it's the Clippers, because it just seemed like the Clippers have been waiting for this, have been really pushing all their chips in for this moment, and Toronto being that's his team, he won a championship there, he's the finals MVP, that would have been the only competition. But the second the Lakers got Anthony Davis, that all of a sudden opened up their possibilities, and then when they created all that extra salary room, boy, now it could be that he does come to L.A., but just not where Clipper fans had hoped he would go, across the hall.
Can you imagine that front line LeBron, Davis and Leonard? I mean, that's stunning. Dan, can you imagine that?
All would be
line?
Forgiven, Jeannie Buss. All is forgiven if that happens.
You didn't say those things about her.
It's the best three players to probably play together one time in league history. I don't know if that's hyperbole or not. It doesn't feel like it, right? Like, this is three, even if you're being generous, three top 10 players all at once. That didn't happen in Miami with their big three. It certainly didn't happen in Boston. It's hard to think of any Laker team that had three players that good at that and that kind of level of prime.
Wilt, West, and Baylor,
or
maybe would
Magic
would
worthy Kareem, but Kareem was not in his prime
better.
Though.
Yeah. I think that I think these three are better.
Yeah,
I mean, it's you've got LeBron James, who's, you know, I think going to be just fantastic this season after having time off, after having time to get healthy for the first time really in his career, having a real summer. You have Anthony Davis, who is very much just entering his prime, and you have Kawhi Leonard, who is square in the middle of it. I mean, you saw in the playoffs, that guy is you know, he might be the best player on the planet right now in the way that he can impact games on both sides of the court. And those three together, it's funny, you know, you look at kind of, and this will be the Lakers' challenge regardless of what happens. I mean, they've got 5 guys. If they sign Kawhi Leonard, they'll have 5 guys under roster. Well, 6, because they just agreed to a shooter named Trey Daniels. But, you know, they're going to have no money, really, throughout the rest of their roster. Even if they don't get him, then, you know, that's one less player. They still don't have a ton of money or guys that you'd want to give a ton of money to fill out the roster. It's a really interesting situation that the Lakers are in, one that they kind of have to be in, because if you get indication that you're in this, you kind of just got to wait it out.
Yeah, and so you're going to have just a bunch of guys coming off the bench. Kyle Kuzma will presumably
be the starting shooting
guard on the team. Yeah. Who plays the point?
I think it'll be a combination of Mantle and Martinez coming off the bench for the Lakers. I think
I'll
KPCC
let
will let us take on another job. Yeah, that will be the challenge. But the thing is, and Dan, you're right, the Lakers do have to wait. They've created all this money, and the questions were, do they fill out the roster with some solid veterans and use some of that money up, or wait for Kawhi Leonard to make that decision? And I think at this point, you do have to wait. Even if it means that you're going to be struggling to find some decent players to spend that money on, you have to wait, because if you get Kawhi Leonard, it is the game changer of all time, really, for the Lakers.
And Dan, what happens if the Clippers don't get Kawhi? Is there a plan B?
Yeah, I mean, I think their plan B is a little easier to execute. They can just essentially be who they were last year, right? They can be a team that still has sort of cap flexibility, that still has an interesting collection of young players and draft picks, that still can be sort of a destination. Now, this is a hit to kind of, you know, the culture that they've created. They've done such a good job, I think, in kind of turning around the perception around the league of what the Clippers are. A lot of credit goes to Steve Ballmer on that. A lot of credit, I think, goes to their front office. They had two guys this summer. This is almost unprecedented. They had two guys in their front office, their general manager, Michael Winger, and their assistant general manager, Trent Redden, who both turned down promotions to stay with the Clippers, you know, to kind of continue working there. And now they were compensated for that. And it was a good thing for them. But it's just, I think it speaks sort of to the overall culture. If they miss out on Kawhi Leonard, obviously their pathway to being championship contenders as soon as next year is shot. But they still have a lot of other really good things going for them. And I still think the same goes for the Lakers. It's not like the talent is totally there. You know, they'll have LeBron James and Anthony Davis, who are two top seven, you know, two top 10 players too. So that's a good enough core to be competitive in what seems like is going to be a pretty wide open West. When you consider kind of the Warriors' injuries and how much talent and money was spent out east.
Why would Kawhi Leonard leave Toronto after winning an NBA championship, and under the league rules, they can spend the most money to sign him?
This would be the first time he's getting to choose. He's never had that opportunity before, so he gets to chart his course the way he wants it. And if he wants to be paired up with LeBron James and Anthony Davis, two of the best players in the NBA, it would be the first time that he has made the decision on his own to say, this is where I want to be. And for a lot of players, for a lot of athletes, that's very, very important to have the autonomy to say, this is what I'm choosing, this is what I'm doing with the rest of my life, and leave it at that.
Even if he's going to have to share the spotlight with those guys.
But LeBron has said, though, he's willing to take a back seat. And Dan mentioned, Kawhi Leonard is one of the best two-way players in the NBA. That means he's one of the best offensive players and defensive players. LeBron doesn't play defense anymore, so it would be on Kawhi to take the lead in that role.
I think you bring up an interesting point, though, too, and I think I do think, and I wonder if this is something that I'm sure the Clippers will bring up when they talk to Kawhi Leonard. You know, part of the fun, I was around Toronto a lot this year in the playoffs, and you ask why you would want to come to Southern California. There were a couple 40 degree days.
Yeah, enough said.
Yeah, that would be good reasons why. but I think, you know, and he certainly seems like someone, this is home for him. Not Los Angeles per se, but Southern California, and he has been here. He played college at San Diego State after growing up outside, you know, in Riverside. Like, this is someone who it seemingly, now this doesn't work for everybody. Some guys don't want to be around home. He seems like someone who does. And I think that's the geographical part of the pitch is something that Toronto knows they can't offer. But I want to touch on one thing you said, which is, I do think, though, that being the offensive focal point in Toronto was something that Kawhi really appreciated. And if you talk to people up there, he wasn't the same kind of lockdown defender all for, you know, every time he stepped on the court. He did it in spurts. He did it in the playoffs terrifically, especially against Milwaukee. But this was a guy, though, that had the ball in his hands and took a lot of shots and was sort of their offensive star. And he's good enough to do it. You know, would he be super comfortable sharing the ball with two other great offensive players? And he might even still be today the best of those three at going to get a bucket. Would he want to not do that after doing it for an entire season? I don't know. It's a really interesting question.
Well, and if the Lakers don't have much of a bench, would Leonard's workload be able to be managed in the same way that it was effectively done in Toronto? That's another thing. He might have to play a lot of minutes without much coming off the bench.
Work either way. And I think on one hand, yeah, you know, their depth will be certainly, you know, their top to bottom depth is going to be a problem regardless of what happens. But also their top line depth is so good that you wonder if you could survive, you know, 20 games a season with only two of those guys.
Mm.
Three players could get rested.
So you just rotate them.
Somebody too.
Yeah. James writes on the page, I know how everyone's forgetting about Kyle Kuzma. He's going to have a breakout year. You could almost argue he had a breakout year last year. I was very happy that Kuzma was not one of the players who was shipped to New Orleans for Anthony Davis.
And the thing about if indeed Kawhi Leonard were to come to L.A., So Kyle Kuzma maybe won't get as many shots and maybe the emphasis won't be on him, but he can also fly under the radar and just wait for the ball to come to him, make those easy shots, have a great season, because all the pressure is going to be on three guys making millions of more money than he's making. So that actually would be a good thing, I think, for Kyle Kuzma.
Yeah, and maybe LeBron James is the point guard. Maybe it's.
I wouldn't mind if he had the ball in his hands most of the time.
Yeah, he'd just bring it up the court. We're talking with Dan Wojcicki, LA Times, NBA national writer, and A. Martinez, host of Take Two, as we talk about the big NBA free agency. So, Dan, the Brooklyn Nets scored huge with their stars who were signed yesterday. Are they the immediate favorite in the East? Dan, you there? Oh, we apparently lost him. Are the Nets the favorite?
Well, no, and the reason for it is Kevin Durant's not going to play for them next year. He is injured. He's going to take
he's out the full year.
Yeah, he's out the entire season. So they only have Kyrie Irving as their lead superstar. And then when he eventually does come back, remember, Kevin Durant is on the wrong side of 30. I don't know necessarily if that was the wisest short-term move for the Nets. I think they're hoping that he gets it back and that he'll be fine the following season. But still, that side of 30, you're devoted a lot of money. If he's not quite the same, then are you getting the same return for the investment that you made in him? So I'm not quite putting the Nets on a pedestal quite yet.
All right. Dan, we just lost you there. So I was asking about, you know, are the Nets immediately the favorite after their signings, including Durant? What do you think?
I don't think so. I mean, I think obviously, you know, Kevin Durant is not going to probably play basketball next year. And if for some reason he was able to come back late in the playoffs, he would certainly only be a shell of kind of the guy he was right now. That's the Achilles recovery is sort of a multi-year process. But I do think they're in position. They have a really good roster around him. They're going to be a playoff team. You know, Kyrie Irving, DeAndre Jordan, Spencer Dinwiddie is a really good player from Los Angeles. They have some talent already there. It wasn't a situation where, like, the cupboard was completely bare. It was a good team before. It'll be a good team this year. But favorite, I think, you know, I still look at the Milwaukee Bucks. I think they have the best player in the conference in Giannis Antetokounmpo. I think, obviously, if Kawhi Leonard returns to Toronto, they'll be in that mix. And I think there's some young, exciting teams that could kind of work their way into the playoffs picture sooner than later, too. That'll be really difficult. I think, and not to mention Philadelphia is still a team that has a lot of talent. So, you know, this is a multi-year thing for Brooklyn. Good on them yesterday. I think, you know, good on them in terms of, and we've seen the Clippers struggle with this, you know, being able to kind of overshadow and outwork the Knicks, like the team with more prestige and Madison Square Garden and all of those things, like that, you know, Brooklyn kind of, I think, took that narrative and killed it yesterday.
Is that because the Dolans, the owners of the Knicks, people just don't want to play for the Dolans?
I mean, that's a big part of it, I think. I think that it's also really hard to sign free agents. You know, and building through free agency is a tricky proposition. I think if you talk, I mean, the Lakers have been pretty successful at it, but they're one of the few teams that is sort of a destination year in, year out. You know, New York has tried this multiple times. I was kind of going through stuff. I mean, this is a place that, you know, reunited the Sopranos for an extra scene to try to impress LeBron James in free agency. And even that didn't work. They've been kind of down this road so many times and have been so mediocre. Certainly ownership is a huge part of it. They don't have a winning culture right there. It is not considered a good organization when you talk to people around the league. People love playing in Madison Square Garden, but generally speaking, I think they mostly like doing it as visitors.
All right. And then, of course, the Warriors, they're going to have a very different year next year with Klay Thompson re-signing, but having to rehab and come back from his ACL injury, I believe it was.
Yeah, he's going to be. But they got D'Angelo Russell, a former Laker, to basically just stand there and wait for the ball to come to him so I can hit three pointers. So they should be okay. I don't see them falling off a cliff, but they're not going to be as dominant as they have been for 4 years.
Hey, always a pleasure. Thanks so much.
Thanks,
we'll look
Larry.
Forward to hearing you this afternoon at 2 on Take 2. And Dan Wojcicki, LA Times national NBA writer. Dan, always a pleasure. Thanks so much.
So much for having me.
Hey, appreciate it. You're listening to Wear Talk on 89.3 KPCC. Coming up, the past and future of the American automobile. How close are we to fully autonomous vehicles? And what other major changes affected the American car? And how did the industry adapt to that? Back after a live update from Julie Slater.